Amen. We're going to open our Bibles once again in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 8. Eighth chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel, commencing to read at the verse number 26. Luke's Gospel, chapter 28, and the verse number, chapter 8, verse number 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when Jesus went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountains. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And Jesus suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means that he was possessed, that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country, the Gadarenes round about, besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. It came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his truth. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious, eternal God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we have a word from Thee this day. We thank Thee that this is Thy book. We thank Thee, Lord, that this is Thine infallible word. And we bless Thee that though heaven and earth may pass away, that Thy word shall never pass away. And today, Lord, we can depend upon Thine infallible truth. And today we take hold of it and we pray that You'll bless it to our hearts, even as we read it and as we meditate upon it. Pray, Lord, for those that are saved, that Thou will bless them and encourage them. Those, our God, that have wandered from Thee, that Thou will restore them and bring them back to their first love. O Heavenly Father, for those that are not saved, that Thou will save them. That Thou will snatch them as a brand from the burning and turn them unto Thyself, for salvation belongeth unto the Lord. And so we commit ourselves to Thee. We pray that Thou will bless us now and speak to us. And, O God, let me speak the word that Thou hast given, that the name of the Lord Jesus might be uplifted, glorified. For we pray in Jesus' precious name, for His sake. Amen. I want to speak this morning upon the simple subject of where God's children need always to be. Where God's children need always to be. We read in the book of Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, these words, How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Remember one time whenever we're in the midst of a group of young people, when I was a young preacher, I remember saying to them, you know, I want you to know something about me that's different. They said, what is it? I said, I have beautiful feet. And they looked at me as much as to say, is this boy crazy? And I said, you know, the wonderful thing about it is, I not only have beautiful feet, but I've got God's word to prove it. And then they were sure I was crazy. And then I said, it was that little verse over there in the book of Isaiah chapter 52. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation. And so it's a privilege today to open the scriptures and to publish the good tidings of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that reference there, in that verse number 7, it's also a reference in the book of Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7, or verse 15 as well. But the reference is to the messengers who went in advance of the returning exiles that were coming back to Jerusalem. And they would go back and they would proclaim to Jerusalem that the time of the favor, of God's favor for her had come, that the time that was appointed had surely come, and that the heralds had a message to proclaim, and it was a beautiful message because it was a message of deliverance, and they were loved for their work's sake, and the message they were sent upon was certainly a beautiful message. And they proclaimed the message of good tidings and the message of peace. But I want to talk about the feet of Jesus today, the place where God's child ought always to be. And I want us to study this morning just 6 references to at the feet of Jesus. And I want you to open your Bible with me, and I want you to notice these references in the scriptures. First of all, in Luke's Gospel chapter 7 is the first reference that I want to leave with you. And it is the place of conversion. At the feet of Jesus, the place of conversion. In Luke's Gospel chapter 7, in verse number 38 says, and she stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed him with the ointment. I believe that this chapter here tells the most beautiful story of the saving grace of God in a life at the feet of Jesus, for it was the place of conversion. You'll find that Simon has invited the Lord Jesus to come into his house. Now, of course, there's a dispute of why Simon brought the Lord Jesus into his house. Some people said that he was interested in his message. Some people said that he was anxious to find fault in the Savior. That is not my desire to go into the reason why that Simon brought the Savior into his house. What I do know is this, that when the Pharisees would bring someone in, there was a customary sign of welcome. And the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned that later on in the passage of God's Word. And that was the anointing of the head and the washing of the feet and of course the giving of the kiss. And that was indeed the customary sign of welcome to a person who was brought in into a home and that they were made welcome. But none of these things were done in the house of Simon. But what we find out is this, that whilst it was true that Jesus Christ came in, and his head was not anointed with oil, his feet was not washed with water, the kiss was not placed upon his cheek or upon his hand. And whilst these were not done by Simon or those of Simon's household, a woman came in off the street. Now she was an unchaste woman. She was an ungodly woman. She was a sinful woman. And she came in and off the street where the Lord Jesus Christ was. And when she came in, and I'm sure when she looked around, she saw the Savior. And I do believe that somehow that Jesus Christ had ministered his word and she had been standing in the crowd because her heart had already been touched. And she comes into the Simon's house and then she takes her place at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that she stands behind him. That was not the usual place for this woman because she would flaunt herself in her sinful ways before the men of the city. And in the street. But she stands behind the Lord Jesus Christ. As her Savior leans and lies upon the couch and his feet are protruding over the back of the seat, the woman stands there behind, and suddenly there are beads of tears that fall upon the feet of Christ, and she would wipe away the tear from off the Savior's feet. And then the tears came more rapidly, and she began to cry, and she kneels down, the teardrops come, and they fall incessantly upon the feet of the blessed Son of God. And then, of course, she takes her hair, and she undoes her hair, and the Bible says that she dried the feet, or she wiped the feet of the Lord Jesus with her hair. Now, of course, for a Hebrew woman would never in public let her hair down. Because the letting of her hair down was an act of abasement. It was an act of humiliation. But this woman takes her hair and she lets it down and she starts to dry the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, because she wipes the feet of Christ. She removes the tears with her hair. She abases herself. She humbles herself. Her pride is destroyed, and she is there in the presence of the Son of God. Verse 39, it says, "Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." My friend, I want to tell you this. Not only did Jesus know who she was, he knew exactly who Simon was. Because you'll notice what it says there in verse 39. It says, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. He didn't speak this out. He spoke this inside himself. And of course he was accusing and he was questioning. If this is really the Messiah, if this is really the prophet, he would know who she is that toucheth him. And he would know that she was a sinner, and a sinner ought not to touch him. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ knew Simon's heart just as he knew the woman's heart. And the Lord Jesus answered, verse 40, and said unto Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke concerning this woman, and then he said this in verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Friend, at the feet of Jesus, it was the place of conversion. And this woman was gloriously saved that day. Her life was gloriously cleansed that day. She was gloriously forgiven of her sin. He said, thy sins are forgiven. Have you come to the feet of Christ by faith, friend? Have you taken your place as a sinner? Have you acknowledged your lost estate? This woman, she stood and she wept at the feet of Christ, friend. And I believe with all my heart that this woman was weeping, because as she stood in the presence of the sinless Son of God, she realized the awfulness of her sin. She realized her corruptness. She realized her sinfulness. And she was ashamed of her sin. And she kneels down at the feet of Christ. And she begins to weep over the feet of the blessed Son of God. And she kisses the feet of Christ. Oh, many a man she has kissed in her sinfulness, but she kisses the feet of Jesus, acknowledging her shame, acknowledging her sinfulness. I remember we were out in Israel one time, and the Jew that was leading us around was telling us about this instance, and he said to us, you know, the woman would not have enough tears to wash the feet of Jesus. Just the tears that would fall. But he said, you know, in Bible times they used to have a bottle of tears. And he said, you know, this woman would have carried a bottle that says, you know, in the Psalm, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? And he said, you know, this woman would have carried on her being, and she would have carried the bottle, and many times her heart was breaking. You know, it may seem that as if she was enjoying her sin. But there are nights that whenever her sin would come up before her, her heart would break because of her sinfulness. And maybe because of sorrow in her life. Maybe a broken home, maybe a broken heart. And she would shed her tears, and the tears would be wrung and put into the bottle. And she would have carried those tears. And he said, you know, when she had been at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, you know, I think that woman to put her hand and she took out the bottle of her past tears. And they were cold. And she poured that bottle of tears over the feet of Christ, and her warm, scorching tears of the present. Repentance, brokenness, were on the feet of Christ. Let me say today in this service, God knows your past just as God knows your present. And God knows your heart, friend, just as the Lord knew. And God, Simon never even spoke, and yet the Lord knew what went on in his heart. He said within himself. And yet the Lord knew his heart that day. But God knew that woman's heart, that she was a sinner. But friend, that's why he came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I thank God this morning there's a place at the feet of Jesus for you this morning, dear unsaved person. There's a place for every sinner. The words of the hymn writer says, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there are still room for some. For there's room at the cross for you, and there's room at the feet of Jesus for you. Praise God, it can be the place of your conversion. Just as this woman lingered at the feet of Christ, friend, so can you. But then turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. And when we come to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, and go down to verse number 35, we read this passage this morning. This is what it says. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Let me tell you, it was the place of change. It was the place of change. Because the story here is a story of a man who was possessed of the devils and the demons and the powers of hell. A man that was amongst the tombs. We read of it in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And the Lord Jesus Christ crossed over the ship and he came to the right place. He came at the right time and he came to the right person. Now the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. And there among the tombs, there was a man that was possessed of the demons of hell, friend. And whenever the Lord Jesus said, who art thou? He said, I'm legion, for we are many. And this man was there, and they would put the restraints of the chains upon him. They would bind him because he was like a raving lunatic. And he was running amongst the tombs, and they would try to restrain him. But he would pull them asunder, even the mighty chains that were put upon him. And he would just tear them asunder like a string. He has got a home, for the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, he says, return to thine own home. I don't know how the devil took so great a possession of this man, but friend, I don't know a story because Jesus Christ doesn't tell me the heart of it. But what I do know is this man was energized by the power of hell, and the demons of hell had bound him in chains. The devil had completely taken him. But thank God Jesus changed him. You know, amongst the tombs, friend, he had no clothes. He was just running around in his nakedness, and he was mad, and he would cut himself, and he'd try to commit suicide. He would lie amongst the dead. What an awful picture of the sinner. George Whitefield was preaching about this, and he said this. He says, Jesus will take the devil's castaways. Jesus takes the devil's castaways. And here was a man, let me tell you, friend, and he was lying amongst the tombs. And thank God, we see here that no matter how hard a man is, no matter how hard a case a person is, praise God, Jesus can change them. If you're here this morning, and maybe, friend, you think you're too hard for God, maybe you think you're too far gone, I want to tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed it from all sin. The Lord can change your life, because this man was gloriously changed. No longer was he amongst the tombs, friend. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus. No longer was he running like a madman. He was seated there at the feet of Christ. No longer was he in his nakedness. But the Lord Jesus clothed him. The Lord clothed him whenever the crowd came to see him. What was he doing? He was clothed. The Bible said he was in his right mind. And he was sitting at at the feet of Jesus, changed. See, when God saves a man, he changes him. Word of God tells me, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things pass away, friend. Behold, all things become new. At the feet of Jesus, it's the place of change. Has the Lord changed your life, friend? Have you yielded your heart to Christ? Have you been gloriously saved? Because let me tell you, if you are, you're changed. And the old places where you used to go and the old haunts that you used to have, praise God, these meant no more for this man. This man, by his sin, had been driven out of his house. And the Lord Jesus says, go to thine own home. Go to thine own home when you tell them what great things that God hath done for thee. Friends, when this man came home, thank God, he, on his way home, because he said he went into the city, so on his way home, he couldn't keep his mouth shut when he got home, friend. He wanted to tell it the whole way home. I'm changed. I'm changed. At the feet of Jesus. Friend, that's where you can be changed this morning. Your life can be gloriously changed, never, ever to be the same again. Never to be the same again. Since the moment I met Jesus, that moment the new life began, and I'll never be the same again. It's a place of conversion. It's a place of change. But I want you to turn with me to Luke's Gospel chapter 10. And when you come to Luke's Gospel chapter 10 and go down the passage of God's word, because of time, you come to verse number 38, and it says, now it came to pass, as they went, that Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And what I want you to notice thirdly is this, at the feet of Jesus, friend, it's the place of commitment. It's the place of commitment. Now what I want you to notice here, well, the Lord Jesus Christ was received into this house. Martha seems to be the older of the family. It seems to be that she's the boss in the home, because it says that Martha welcomed or received him into her house. There were a brother and two sisters. And we find here that she had a sister called Mary. Now, at the beginning of the story, I want you to notice that at the beginning of this scene, Martha and Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. You say, how do you get that? Look at verse number 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at the feet of Jesus. Because I believe at the commencement of the story, the emphasis there, and in my meditation and study upon this, and the references to also. In other words, Mary and Martha were first of all found at the feet of Christ. But in the midst of the ministry of Christ in this home, Martha's mind began to get onto other things. And Martha realized that the Savior was there, and she wanted to give him something to eat. And so she got distracted on other things. Her mind began to wander. Does your mind begin to wander? Maybe you open the scriptures, friend, and you want to read it maybe at night, and your mind starts to wander. Maybe you come to God's house, and as the Word of God is read or the Word of God is preached, you begin to wander onto other things. Well, that's what happened to Martha. Martha's mind began to wander. She said, you know, I've got to get this meal ready. We've got to show the master that he's welcome in this house, and we've got to make the meal. Now listen, I have no doubt whatsoever that Martha wanted to give Jesus the best. I have no doubt that Martha loved the Lord Jesus as well as Mary did. And Martha wanted to give to the Lord Jesus Christ the very best, because Martha was a splendid hostess. But friend, her mind got on other things when it was so important to just sit at the feet of Jesus and to linger there. And Mary sat there, and Martha, she got up and she started to busy herself in preparing the meal for Christ and for his disciples, because not only was the Lord here, his disciples were here as well. Because it says in verse 38, it came to pass as they went. It's not only as Jesus went. There were the disciples were with the Savior. And so she begins to bother herself and to busy herself upon other things. But Mary, she just wanted to linger at the feet of Jesus. She wanted to take in what Jesus had to say. She wanted to hear the Master's words. It wasn't that she was careless. It wasn't that she was lazy. In actual fact, Martha began she became so vexed with her sister and so angry with her sister that she intervened in the Savior, into the Savior's ministry and the Savior's words, and she started to accuse. And she said there in verse number 40, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care? Do you not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.'" In other words, you order her, Master. She's sitting at your feet. You tell her it's time to get up and to get herself busy and prepare the meal. And Jesus said to her, verse 41, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful." The word there is anxious. "And you're troubled about many things." Notice that. Many things. Listen. Are things taking your eyes of the Lord today? Are you troubled about many things? And friend, you've got your eyes of the Lord. You've let the things come in. Instead of lingering at the feet of Jesus, instead of listening to his voice, instead of learning what the Master is saying, say, "Lord, speak to me. Oh God, I don't want to do anything outside of your will, but God, I want to know your will. I want to know your way. I want to know your plan. I want to hear you speak, Lord." But here was a woman, Martha, and she was sitting with Mary at the feet of Christ, but her mind got distracted about many things. Oh, the devil will distract you, friend. You want to go for God. You want to serve the Lord. You want to be busy in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, the devil will get the many things to intervene. And Mary was sitting at the feet of Christ. Are you taken up with the many things, friend, and losing out with God? And this is what Jesus said, "Martha, Martha." He said, "Thou art careful and thou art troubled." Yes, she was a woman that was busy. She was a woman that was anxious. She was a woman that was troubled about many things. But one thing's needful, Martha. One thing. In other words, first things first. And Mary hath chosen that part which shall not be taken away from her. You see, Mary committed herself, friend, to hear the Lord. She committed herself to hear the word of God. And friend, we need to sit at his feet before we can serve. We need to take in before we can give out. We need to resolve, we need to determine before God, friend, to be just like Mary, who chose the better part. And Jesus said, "It's not going to be taken away from her, Martha. That better part's not going to be taken away from Mary, because she had chosen that good part." What did she choose, friend? To sit at his feet. And friend, I tell you this before God. You have to commit yourself as a child of God, one who's converted, one who's changed. You have to commit yourself to serve the Lord. You have to consecrate and commit your life to serve the Lord. The devil will bring other things in. And when it comes to the studying of God's word, when it comes to the meditating upon God's truth, when it comes to that time of fellowshipping with the Lord, my, the devil is so crafty. He'll bring the other things in. He'll try to distract your mind. He'll try to distract your thoughts. He'll bring others into your presence to distract you and take you away from the good part. But at the feet of Jesus, it was the place of commitment. We sing the wee chorus, I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm not going back. The cross before me, the world behind me, but I'm not going back. Though none should join me, still I will follow. I'm not going back. And Mary sat at the feet of Christ then. Oh, her sister accused her falsely. But the Savior commended her. He says, Mary hath chosen that good part and will not be taken away from her at the feet of Jesus. And then turn back to Luke's Gospel chapter 8. Because in Luke's Gospel chapter 8, after the scene of the healing or the delivering of the demon of Gadara, if you go with me to verse 41, Luke's Gospel chapter 8, verse 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. And as he went, the people thronged him. Mark's Gospel chapter 5 gives the same story, friend. And in Mark's Gospel chapter 5 and verse 23 it says, or verse 22 it says, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell, that's when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. And here we find at the feet of Jesus is the place of confidence. It could be said it was the place of complaint, but it wasn't a complaint in that he was complaining against Christ. No, friend. It was the place of confidence. He was bringing his burden. He had a need. He was bringing his burden to the Lord. In verse 23 it says, and he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hand on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. And as the Lord Jesus Christ is, he has left the Gadarenes and he has come back to the city. And as he comes back, he finds there's the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus. And his heart's breaking, friend. He's a burden. Because his little girl's dying. And he was a ruler of the synagogue, but he didn't find any of the synagogue that were of any help to him or could meet him at the very point of his need. She was at the point of death. And notice what it did, friend. It drove him to the feet of Jesus. His need, his burden, drove him to the feet of Jesus. It was the place of confidence. And child of God, let me tell you this. Here was a man and he was driven to the feet of Jesus. What was his burden, friend? His family. His child. It was his only child. And she was dying. And he loved her. And he wanted Jesus to heal her. Tell me, what about your family? Oh, you say to me, preacher, this morning, they're quite well, thank you. No, I'm not asking that, friend. Are they dying in their sin? Have you loved ones that are dying in your sin? Does that burden you? Your sons or daughters, mother, father, brother, sister, friends that you work with, have you got a burden for them? Here was a man, he had got a burden. He says, my little girl, she's my only daughter, she's my only child, but she's at the point of death. And his burden drove him to the feet of Christ. Thank God he had confidence. For this is what it says in Mark 5, verse 23. I pray thee, come and lay thy hand on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. He had confidence. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there, friend. Bring the burden of your sons and your daughters, your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters. Take it to the feet of Christ, friend. Bring them to the feet of Jesus and leave them there. Verse 24 says, and Jesus went with them. Jesus went with them. The Savior met the need that day. But that man was driven with a burden to the feet of Christ. And he poured out his heart before the Lord. He besought him greatly. There was an earnestness of heart, it says. Because he said, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hand on her. Oh, that we would have a burden for our unsaved loved ones, that God would save them. And would come with confidence and just cast that burden on the Lord. For he shall sustain us. Very quickly. Turn to the 17th chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel. And when you come to chapter 17 of the book of Luke's Gospel, and it tells us there in verse number 12, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show that yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory. There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. The scene here, friend, is the Lord Jesus on his last journey to Jerusalem. And as he makes his way from Galilee to going to Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus Christ is going on his way to the cross. It was an eventful journey. It took many turns and twists if you study the journey of Christ from Galilee to Jerusalem. Many twists and many turns. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to meet needs wherever they were found. He must needs go through Samaria. And as the Savior enters here into a certain village, there met him 10 men, 10 lepers. And of course, these 10 lepers, they had, the Bible tells us that they stood afar off because they were unclean. They were outcasts. They were all in the same position. The interesting part is this, friend. There were 9 Jews here and there was 1 Samaritan. You say, why were they all together, friend? Because they were all outcasts. There was no difference. Because whether they were Jew or Samaritan, it didn't make any difference because they were all outcasts. They were driven out because with leprosy, there were only 2 classes in society. That was the clean and the unclean. And so we find here that they stand afar off and leprosy had separated them from the rest of society. It's just as sin separates families and places man far from God. And they come and they meet the Savior. They lift up their voice. And they start crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when Jesus saw him, he said unto them, go show thyself or yourselves unto the priests. That came to pass as they went. They were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back. And with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. There was only one. You see, friend, at the feet of Christ is the place of cheerfulness. It's the place of thanksgiving. And here was this one leper, and he threw himself down on the ground at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's so thankful. He's so happy. But friend, listen, he is so thankful for what the Lord has done. He must return, and he leaves the other nine, and he runs back to where Jesus is, and he throws himself at the feet of Christ, and it says he glorifies God, giving him thanks. You see, his faith. He had not only faith to ask God for help, but he had faith to praise God for the help that God had given. You know, God's children need to be at the feet of Christ, friend, to give him thanks. When was the last time you thanked God for the breath you breathe, friend, for the clothes you wear, for the blessings? Listen, his mercies are new every morning. The constant help that he has given you. Do you thank God for that? And he fell at the feet of Jesus. And he rejoiced. You know, sometimes, you know, whenever we are blessed, we forget to say thanks. It should drive us on our knees before God. Whenever God has blessed us, friend, just say, Lord, please thank you with all my heart. Lord, I thank you for saving my soul. Lord Jesus, I thank you for making me whole. Lord Jesus, I thank you for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and yet so free. It's the place of conversion. It's the place of change. It's the place of thankfulness or of cheerfulness. It's the place of confidence. Thank God, finally, it's the place of consolation. Revelation chapter 1. And we'll send through. Revelation chapter 1. And it says in verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, and the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And John said this, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet. You know, John was in the Isle of Patmos. He was the youngest of all the disciples. Now he's an old man. He's suffering for his testimony of Christ. The other disciples have been killed. John has been exiled on the Isle of Patmos, persecuted for Christ's sake. And yet the Lord visits him in a very mighty, mighty way. And he hears a voice behind him. And he says, I turned to see the voice. He said, I saw him. And he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet. A Jesus did. But you know what he said? And he said, and he laid his right hand upon me. Oh, the consolation. That mighty right hand of the Lord. And he said, he laid his right hand upon me. And he said, John, fear not. Because I'm the first. And I'm the last. Oh, linger at the feet of Jesus today. Child of God, stay at his feet. May God keep us humble at the feet of Christ. Oh, that we sang this morning, it was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing and my sins were washed away. Oh, that we might see him and linger at his feet for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thou knowest the hearts of everyone that's gathered in thy house this morning. Thou knowest the needs of every heart. Thou knowest those that are not saved and need conversion. Lord, thou knowest those that are bound and they need the chains broken, they need to be changed. Thou knowest those, our God, each and every one of us, that in our daily walk with thee, we need that commitment, our God, that we might linger and hear thy voice. Lest the world brings the many things into our lives and take away our joy, just like Martha. We're distracted, we're anxious, we're overcome, and we have lost the joy of sitting in his presence and lost the joy of lingering at his feet. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that thou will help us to come with confidence and bring our burdens to thee. For you have said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, and there's not a burden too heavy. But God, you can carry. There's not a sorrow too great, but you can share, bear. Help us, our God, our Heavenly Father, to come with cheerfulness. Help us to come to thank you, for we've so much to thank you for. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Oh God, thank you for your mercies. They're new every morning. And great is thy faithfulness, Lord, to me. And oh God, in the midst of all the journey of life, help us, our God, to behold him whom our soul beloved, our soul loves. Help us to love you with all our heart and find at your feet that consolation. Fear not, for I am the first and the last. We pray in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake.